stand with me if you're able. What a wonderful presence of the Lord is in this place. What a very special day God has given us today, and we're so thankful. Amen, that He woke us up this morning. How many know every day's a gift from God? Every day's a gift from God. Amen, and I'm so thankful to today to open and to enjoy one more gift. Amen. We're so thankful to have all of our visitors with us today. And we're so thankful that at the end of when I'm done preaching today, we'll be baptizing little Miss Chanley in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're excited about that today. Amen. But for the next few moments, I want to speak to you what the Lord has placed on my heart. If you got your Bibles, you'll turn with me. If you'll meet me in the book of Joshua, meet me in Joshua, the 4th chapter. I'm going to be reading verse 1 through 9 very quickly. Amen. Joshua, the 4th chapter. I'll be reading verse 1 through 9. Amen. I'll give you a second to turn there. Amen. Yesterday, we were sitting out on the deck and just kind of reminiscing, just kind of thinking back, just kind of looking back over our lives and thinking on the goodness of God. And I began to think about all of the people in this church and all of the testimonies that God has given us and all the miracles that He has performed. And man, just one right after the other, the Lord was flooding my mind, Brother Eric, of His goodness and His mercy. And man, then I began to think back on the accident that me and my wife had 15 years ago, how I almost lost my wife, but God was so good to us. And here we are, pastoring a church just steps away from that accident. I'm telling you, church, you never know what God has in store for you. Amen, but it led me to what I want to preach today. I feel that I'm in tune with God, and I feel that I'm going to speak something into your spirit today that the Holy Ghost wants to get there. Amen, if you'll join me in the book of Joshua, the 4th chapter, I'll be reading verse 1 through 9. Shout yes if you're there. If you're not there and you don't have a Bible, the screens on the right and the left of me hold the text for you. You can read with us there. Joshua, the 4th chapter, verse 1 through 9, the word of the Lord says, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan." That's biblical terminology for saying they were all the way through. "They were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, one out of every tribe, a man, and command ye them, say this to them, Joshua, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan River, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night." And then Joshua, the Bible says, called those 12 men, one from every tribe, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe, one man. And Joshua said unto those men, he said, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan River. And I want you to take up every one of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the times to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones?" What are these stones all about? Verse 7 says, "Then ye shall answer those children that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Verse 8 says, "And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded them. And they took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan River, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And he carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged and laid them down there." Verse 9, "And Joshua set up 12 stones." This is what I want to preach to you for just a few moments about this early afternoon. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan River, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Joshua took 12 stones and he put them out in the midst of the Jordan River, and the waters covered them. A man from every tribe out of the children of Israel took a stone, put it on his shoulder, and carried it up on the other side to where they would lodge at. Amen. How many know God calls us to remember what he has done? How many know God calls us to share what he has done? How many know God didn't just call us to remember, but God called us to share what he has done? I want to preach to you on this beautiful Sunday afternoon for just a few moments on the power in the pile. Amen. Would you lay your Bibles down gently in your seat? Amen. Lift those praises up unto the Lord. Clap those hands. Amen. Open those mouths and shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody say thank you, Jesus, for another day, for another moment, for another meal, for another daylight, for another sunrise. God is so good to us today, and he's worthy of all of our praise. Let's clap our hands unto him in praise today. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I want to preach to you for a few moments on the power of the pile, or the power in the pile. Amen. I just read to you a story, amen, out of the book of Joshua, amen, the fourth chapter. Amen. We know by reading the text, we know the story, how that the Lord had brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and destroyed Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. Amen. But they were not yet where God was taking them to. And now we find ourselves again before they can come, Brother Peter, into the land of Canaan. They must cross over the Jordan River. Amen. And here we are in our text today. And when the Israelites crossed over the mighty Jordan River, I was thinking about this weekend as I was preparing to speak to you. Amen. So many times I have waded in creeks and played in creeks and fished in creeks. And so many times I have come up on rough terrain in creeks. There's times that you can't see what's underneath of the water, but there's rocks lurking. There's stones built up underneath of the water. And I was thinking as I was reading this text this week, that when the children of Israel had crossed over, Sister Kristen, the river of Jordan, no doubt some of them began to complain and began to murmur about the stones that they were stumbling across. But those were not just any old stones. Can I tell you today, those were stones that God had a plan for. Those were stones that God had anointed. Those were stones that God had a purpose and a plan for. Amen. The Lord had called Joshua to succeed Moses and to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But they had to cross the Jordan River during the flood season in the spring to get there. And as Joshua come up on the flooded river, the river of Jordan, the Bible says that there Joshua stepped out into the water. And as he began to meditate, how many know sometimes we just got to stop and listen to what God has to say? How many know sometimes we just got to stop and meditate? Sometimes we just got to stop and wait upon the Lord and listen to what thus saith the Lord. And as Joshua stepped out into the muddy waters of the River Jordan, he just began to stand still and he began to listen unto the Lord. Amen. As he remembered how that the Lord had parted the Red Sea and the children of Israel crossed across on dry land, and how the Lord caused that wind to pull back and the waters covered the Egyptians in the Red Sea. And as Joshua is standing here in the muddy edged banks of the River Jordan there, he begins to remember the goodness of God and how God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And as Joshua began to just meditate upon the Lord, then God began to speak to him. How many know God don't speak to busy minds? God speaks to minds that are looking for him. God speaks to minds that are listening to him. God speaks to minds that are waiting upon him. And as Joshua stood there in the muddy waters of the River Jordan, remembering the goodness of God, the Lord began to speak to Joshua. The Lord, he was thinking, maybe the Lord could do the same thing here. The Lord did it once. Surely he can do it. As Joshua stood there remembering what God had done, remembering the goodness of God, the Lord begins to speak to Joshua. And this is what he says unto Joshua that day. He says, "This day I will begin to magnify you, Joshua, in the eyes of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And you shall tell the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come into the brink of the waters of Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan River." So Joshua calls the priest down to the river, and there he commands them to just step out into the edges of the muddy water. Amen. And he tells them to just step out and do as God has told them to do. Amen. And Joshua, as he calls those priests down and they enter into the water, amen, as soon as those priests' feet touch the water, God stops the water from flowing. God stops the water from flowing, and those priests are standing in the midst of the Jordan River, and the water has ceased to flow. Amen. God stops the flow of the Jordan River, and Israel begins to march across the riverbed. Amen. It was a miracle in the eyes of God's people. It was a miracle in Joshua's generation. Amen. It was a miracle what God was doing for them. Not only did he part the Red Sea, but now he's parting the River Jordan. And now he's about to take him into a land that he promised them, a land that's flowing with milk and honey, a land where there's abundant. Can I tell somebody today, before you're going to get to your land of plenty, you're going to have to go through some stuff, and you're going to have to trust in God with all of your heart. And I want you to know, when you get to your own Jordan, God will stop the waters from flowing, just like he did for the children of Israel. Joshua stands there. The priests come out and join him. The waters cease to flow. The children of Israel begin to march across on dry land, and God had stopped the flow of the river, and they're marching across the mud bed. It was a miracle for Joshua and the people of Israel to tell the next generation. How many know that God knows how forgetful we are? How many know God knows how finite we are? God knows how feeble-minded we are. How many know, come on, you can be honest with yourself today. How many have had God do something amazing for you and just a simple 6 months go by and it's almost like you done forgot all about what God had did for you? Amen. But God knows how we forget, and God knows how forgetful we are. So he tells the people, he tells Joshua, amen, before you leave that riverbed, God called for one man out of every tribe to go back and to get one stone and to carry it up out of the riverbed, to carry it over to the other side where they would lodge that evening. And there they stacked those stones into a pile for a memorial for generations and generations to come. Amen. The generations that were not there. Can I tell you today, it's the power of the pile. Come on, the memorial, the remembering, the not forgetting what God has done for you. Amen. Brother Andrew, at home on my tall dresser, I have this little wooden box. Amen. And in that box, I have a little piece of string that I cut off of a window sill from a set of blinds. When my daughter Brianna, it's hard to believe she was once my little bitty girl. But once when she was a little bitty girl, one night she was sleeping in the bed with us. And some reason in the middle of the night, I woke up and there she was, Sister Mariah. She was struggling and she was moving and she couldn't get free. And the cord from that blind had wrapped around her neck and it was choking her out. And I jumped up and I began to unravel the cord. Now I want you to know God was good to us that night. God remembered the years of faithfulness that we had for him that night. God remembers the time I didn't feel like going to church, but I went in. Anyway, God remembered the time I didn't feel like praying, but I prayed anyway. So you want to know what I did? I cut the end off of that thing. I wrapped it up in a little cord and I stuck it in a box so I would never forget what God did for me. And at home in that same little box, I have a bell off of our Harley Davidson from where me and my wife 15 years ago had a motorcycle accident right here on this corner. Amen. And when I sold that motorcycle, I said, I got to get that bell off of there because it's got to go in my box, Brother Josh, because I got to remember what God has done for me. God help us if we ever forget his goodness to us all the days of our life. Amen. And there are other things in that box. And I don't want to bore you with the stories of my life, but I'm going to tell you, God's been good to me. And I don't want to forget what God has done for me. So I keep a box of all the things that God has done for me in my life. And I want you to know these stones serve the same purpose for the children of Israel. The Lord tells them, he says, I want you to take one man from every tribe. I want him to put a stone up on his shoulder. I want him to carry it up on the banks into Gilgal. And I want you to stack those stones there. And I want you to remember for generations to come, when your children, when your grandchildren say, what is up with all of these stones? You can say, oh, honey, let me tell you a little story. Come on, we were sitting around on the deck this weekend just thinking about us and me and my wife and Sister Angie and Brother Ken, and we were talking about the good things of God, and we were remembering all the good things that God has done for us. Amen. And I felt, you know, I just got to preach about it tomorrow because I feel it in my spirit. Somebody needs to be reminded. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget where God has brought you from. You might not be where you're going. You might not be where you want to be, but you sure enough ain't where you've been. And God is good today, and God is worthy of your praise today. Somebody give him high praise in this house right now. Somebody lift him up for his goodness in your life right now. Hallelujah. It's the power of the pile. Don't ever forget where God has done for you and where God has brought you from. I can hear the grandchildren of those Israelites in my mind. I can envision them walking through Gilgal and seeing this pile of stones. Yesterday we was out on the lake and I looked over on the edge of the lake. How many ever been on the lake and you see where little kids get over there and just keep stacking stones and stones and stones until they get all these little stones piled up? And I was looking at it, made me think about what I was going to preach today. And we look back over our lives and we see all the good things that God has done for us. And yesterday I was thinking about the children of Israel, how that when they would pass by that pile of stones and their children and their grandchildren would ask and say, what's up with all of these stones piled up here? I can imagine those grandchildren asking, Grandma, what's up with that big pile of stones over there? What's up with all those rocks over there? And I can hear Grandma saying, oh, sweetie, Let me tell you how good God is. Let me tell you what God has done. Let me tell you how God brought us across the River Jordan in the midst of the springtime when the waters was flooded. Let me tell you about when the priest stepped out into the water and the water ceased to flow. Let me tell you about how the people started running across the river. Let me tell you about how we took those stones from the midst of the river and we set them here for you to see how good God has been to us. Don't you ever get tired of telling your grandchildren and your children how good God has been to you. Come on, they don't just want to hear it. They need to hear how good God is today. It's the power of the pile. It's the power of a memorial. I can hear them telling those grandchildren, let me tell you what God did. Come on, and then I began to, as I was sitting there reading, I just began to think about all the people in this church, and I began to just claim, and then in my mind, I could envision the grandchildren of Brother Don. I could envision them asking the mom and dad, hey, can what's up with Grandpa Don? And they say, oh, let me tell you about Grandpa Don. Let me tell you how the alcohol once consumed his life. Let me tell you how he almost died. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you how good God is and how God delivered him. Our God delivered him and set him free. Let me tell you about your Grandpa Teddy, how drugs once consumed his life, but one day our God delivered him and set him free. Let me tell you about Mother Peg, how she had a heart attack and nearly died in the church, but our God delivered her and set her free. Let me tell you about Sister Betsy, who almost died when she was young. Let me tell you about this sister right here who had an alcohol problem, but God delivered her. Let me tell you about Brother Eric, who had a brain problem. And he's got a scar on his head, but God delivered him. Let me tell you about Sister Tammy, who fell down some steps and got airlifted to a hospital, but our God delivered her. Come on, somebody. I'm in an apostolic church today. We're remembering the goodness of God in the land of the living today. Clap your hands if he's worthy. Clap your hands if he deserves praise. Clap your hands if there's power in your pile today. I'm not going to forget. I refuse to forget. I refuse to forget what God has done for me. Let me tell you about your grandma Angel, about how she about died in a boating accident. But our God was there. Our God was there. Let me tell you about your grandma Ruby, whose veins was collapsing, but our God was there. Let me tell you about your daddy Jediah, who was hooked up to all those wires in the emergency room, and they wouldn't know if he's going to make it, but our God showed up and was there. Let me tell you about Sister Amber, who was barren and could not have children, but the church started praying. And today she has children. And today she has a family. Why? Because there's power in the pile, church. There's power in the pile. Don't you ever forget what God has done for you. Don't you ever forget where God brought you from. Let me tell you about Sister Joanne, who almost died on a cruise ship when meningitis set in. And the doctors was giving her up. And the doctor said she wasn't going to make it back to dry land. Our God showed up and delivered her. And today she sits in this church with her husband, celebrating 50 years of anniversaries. Today she sits in this church with her grandchildren and her children, worshiping God and giving him praise. Why? Because there's power in the pile today. There's power in the pile today. Oh, little Cole. I was thinking about little Cole this morning. I can't wait till little Cole gets big enough to have a conversation with me. Because one day, me and that baby's going to be sitting around, and I'm going to say, Cole, let me tell you about something. When COVID-19 first came around, let me tell you something, it swept through our church, and it got a hold of your grandma, and they carried her out on a stretcher, and we didn't think she's going to make it, and they put her in the hospital, and they put her on a ventilator, but the church started praying, and once you know what happened, little Cole, God showed up, and he delivered her. And we don't forget to praise him. And we don't forget to give him glory. And we're not going to forget what he did for us. It's the power of the pile. Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you about the goodness of Jesus. Let me tell you where God has brought us from. Let me tell you what God has done for us. And the stories go on and on and on. And on, I can't tell you all the stories in this little church of all the miracles that God has performed and his wonders to perform. I can't tell you of all the stones that are piled up in this place that when people walk through those doors and they say, what's up with all of these stones? We say, we're remembering what God has done for us. It's the power of the pile. It's our stones that we carried up out of the midst of our trials. And we set them up for a memorial. And we say this, we're not going to forget what God has done for us. We're not going to forget where God has brought us from. So we set up these stones. Can I tell you today, your stones may look differently than those stones that the children of Israel carried up out of the midst of the muddy Jordan. Your stones may not be shaped like that. Your stones may not be carnal like that, but there ain't a single person under the sound of my voice that God has not been good to you. There ain't a single person under the sound of my voice that you don't have some story, some testimony, some miracle that God has performed in your life. And you need to set up those stones so the world can see them today. Your stones may look differently than the children of Israel, but we all got stones. We all got stories of the goodness of God in our life. Amen. We sit around this weekend just remembering. Sometimes I still get emotional. I was sitting at work this week talking with a young lady at my work, and we began to talk, and I began to remember back sisters that were in this church that overdosed on drugs, and I began to get emotional. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't help it. I still get emotional because I have battles in my mind and I fight those battles. And I say, I should have helped them. I was their pastor. I should have been able to pray them through. I should have been able to lead them to higher ground. Let me tell you something. We all got stones in our life. We all got things that we got to remember in our life. Some of those stones are too heavy for us to bear. Some of those stones are too heavy for us to carry. And God is a burden bearer today. And God is a carer today. And God will help you carry those stones out for your remembrance, to show you how good he is. We all got stones in our lives. We all remember the things we've been through. Me and my wife been through so many things. Sometimes I sit around and just think about all the things that we've been through, and it's all to the glory of God, Brother Ed. It's all to the glory of God, Sister Ange. Every moment, every trial, every hardship. I remember laying in those hospital beds. My mom and dad had moved out of their house, moved into our house and was living with us. And people from all over was carrying us fruit and carrying us dinners. Not only was God good to us, but the people was good to us. And I will never forget. And today I still find myself texting those people saying, thank you for being there when our worst times of our life. Don't you ever forget where God has brought you from. Don't you ever forget what God has done for you. Hallelujah. Because one of the greatest tools in your life is your remembrance. One of the greatest things in your life is seeing those stones, remembering those rocks, the power of that pile of things that you have been through in your life. God will use it for his glory. He will use it to remind you. I came to tell this church today, he wasn't just good then. He's still good right now. He wasn't just delivering then. He's still delivering right now. He wasn't just saving then. He's still saving right now. He wasn't just empowering then. He's still empowering and filling right now. Give him praise. Hallelujah. He's still delivering right now. But you know what? One of the scariest things could ever happen to you is for you to forget where God brought you from. One of the scariest things that could ever happen to you is you to forget the power in the pile that's right in front of your face. Can I tell you, the children of Israel, your stones might look different than their stones looked. But you got stones and you got stories to tell people how good God was to you and where God brought you from. Maybe you've been sick and God brought you through it. Maybe you've been through a divorce and God restored your life. Come on, maybe you buried a child and God brought you through. I don't know what your stone looks like today, but you need to set them up because somebody needs to see them. Somebody needs to ask what they're about. Somebody needs to hear your story today. And somebody needs to know how good God has been to you. You need to tell somebody, it might just look like a pile of stones to you, but to me, it's much more than that. To me, it tells the story of my life. To me, it tells me every time God ever showed up in my life when my back was against the wall and brought me out. Ooh, he's still a good God right now. He's still a good God right now. You know, when the children of Israel walked into that promised land, the Bible says that the next day, how many remember the text that God was feeding them with manna from heaven? As they come out of the land of Egypt and they begin to murmur and complain, they say, why did you bring us out? At least there we had food to eat. So God opens up the heavens and he begins to send down manna for them to eat all the way on their journey. Promised land, and they began to eat of the fruit of the land. The manna ceased to come down from heaven. God began to feed them with the abundance of the land. How many know God has an abundance for you? God has an abundance for you. God has the miraculous for you. God has greater things in store for you. He wasn't just a good God then. He's a good God right now. He's a good God right now. And he wants to lead you to your land of promise today. But can I tell you, one of the greatest tragedies of your life will be if you forget the power of that pile. If you forget to remember the story behind those rocks. If you forget where God has brought you from. Can I tell you, somehow, some way, amen, Israel did that. And after the death of Joshua, amen, Joshua, the one who led them after the death of Moses when they were lost, Brother Carl, in the wilderness, God sent them a man. God sent them somebody to replace Moses. Amen. And God began to give him favor with all of Israel. And after the death of Joshua, the Bible says that there was nobody continued carrying the stones to the next place of encampment. And can I tell you, there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. Surely the children of Israel could never forget all that God had done for them. My Lord, he brought a mom out of the land of Egypt. He sent 10 plagues upon Pharaoh and caused him to let his people go. Then he sent manna from heaven. He caused water to flow out of a rock. He opened up the Red Sea and let them walk across on dry land. And he buried their enemies in the Red Sea. And now here they are at the River Jordan. And God does it again. He shows up again and the priest step into the water and the water ceases to flow. And they walk across again on dry land. And they set up these memorials that they would never forget all that God has done for them. But somehow, some way, after the death of Joshua, the Bible says there arose a generation of Israelites that knew not the Lord. Can I tell you that's exactly what's going to happen to your family if you don't have stones set up? Can I tell you that's exactly what's going to happen to your children and your grandchildren if you don't have stones set up, if you don't tell them about the goodness of God? They need to know about the power of the pile today. There arose a generation of Israelites that knew not the Lord. You see, somewhere near Gilgal, somewhere in the next couple of times, how many remember there would be a fire by night and there'd be a cloud by day? And every time the fire would move or the cloud would move, the children of Israel had to pick up their all of their things and they had to follow after that cloud in the sky. Somewhere along the way, Brother Jediah, over the next couple of times that the camp moved and Joshua died, the stones got left behind. The worst thing you can ever do is leave your stones behind. The worst thing you can ever do is forget how good God's been to you. The worst thing you could ever do is not remember the goodness of God in your life. Somewhere near Gilgal, they left those stones behind. And somehow they stopped remembering all that God had done for them. You don't ever want to live your life without stones. Stones ain't fun when you got to pick them up and carry them out of the riverbed. But let me tell you something, they're pretty good when you're looking back over your life, Brother Joe, and you're remembering things like I was this weekend when I was looking back. See, I could have lost my little girl. I could have lost my wife. I could have lost my mom. I could have lost my cousin. I could have lost my sister, but God has been good. And I got all these stones set up in my mind. And every time I look back, I remember all the good things of God in my life. And I say, God, don't ever help me to never forget all the things you have done for me in my life. I need those stones. The worst thing you can ever do is try to live your life without stones. You need to remember how good God has been to you. You don't want to see what your life looks like when you forget who God is. You don't want to see what your life looks like when you forget how good God's been to you. No, no, sir. No, ma'am, you don't want to forget what God has done for you. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. I feel an unction from the Lord today. I feel there are some people in this place that most definitely need to hear what I'm telling you today. Come on. I feel like there are some people in this place. You left your stones in Gilgal. You're forgetting how good God has been to you. You're forgetting where God has brought you from. The best thing you can do is to keep your eyes on that pile and remember where God has brought you from. You see, God has called parents. God has called grandparents. God has called the church to teach our children about the wonderful works of God. That's why we got a Sunday school department down there on that end of the building. And every Sunday, they take all of your children and they take them down there and they teach them about the goodness of Jesus. But let me tell you something, it takes more than just those Sunday school teachers telling your children about how good God is. You, Brother Logan, need to tell your children how good God is. Come on, you, Sister Emily, need to tell your children how good God is. You, Brother Jason, need to tell your children and your grandchildren how good God is. It takes parents. It takes grandparents. It takes the church. We got to sow into this next generation because we don't want to see what a generation looks like that knows not God. We don't want to see what a generation that looks like that doesn't know how good He is. No, we got to sow. We got to speak. We got to teach. We got to admonish. We got to exalt. We got to extol. We got to build up a most holy faith in this next generation. Hallelujah. God has called us to disciple people. To disciple children, to teach people how good God really is today, to disciple the next generation and make sure they never forget where God has brought us from. We must teach them who He is. We must teach them what He does. We must teach them what He has done. We must teach them what His Word says, because the world is manipulating them. The world is confusing them, and they need you, parents. They need you, grandparents. They need you, Sunday school teachers. They need you, church, to teach them about the goodness of God today. God delivered us. God healed us. God made a way where there was no way. God delivered me, set me free. I was so bound, but He set me free. Oh, we don't want to see what a generation looks like that knows not God. We're one generation away. The church is one generation away from extinction. If we don't sow into this next generation the goodness of God, if we don't sow into these children the goodness of God, if we don't sow into these lost people the goodness of God, if we don't have an answer for them when they come saying, "What's up with all these stones that are built up?" Say, "Let me tell you a little story. Let me tell you how good God is. Let me tell you what God has done. Let me tell you what God's Word says. He's a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him." You know what? We got to teach them who He is, what He's done, where He's brought us from, what His Word says. Oh, we're more concerned with teaching them how to cook. We're more concerned with teaching them how to hit a curveball. We're more concerned with teaching them how to bait a hook. We're more concerned on how to teaching them to throw a right hook. We're more concerned on teaching them how to shoot a hoop. We're more concerned about all of these things, but the most important thing you could ever teach them is how to love Jesus, how to live for Jesus, how good Jesus has been, how much Jesus has delivered you in your life. That's the greatest thing you could ever teach them today, is the how to live for Jesus. Teach them how to be right with God. Teach them the plan of salvation. You must repent. You must be baptized. You must be filled with the Spirit of God. We must teach our children today. Teach them. Let me tell you what matters. When you teach them how to fast, when you teach them how to pray, when you teach them how to be faithful to God, when you teach them living for God is the best life. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place today. There's nothing greater you could teach this next generation than to say, "You see this pile of stones that's set up right here? Tell me which one you want to hear about, because every single one of them is a story in my life. Let me tell you what God has done for me in 1988. Let me tell you what God did for me in 1992. Let me tell you what God did for me yesterday. Every stone has a story, and it tells about my life. God has been so good to me." Teach them to live for Jesus. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to give. Because if we don't, there will arise a generation that knows not God. There will arise a generation that doesn't understand the power of the pile of stones. God, help us today if we ever forget where He's brought us from. Share God's goodness with somebody else. Tell them about your pile of stones. It might just look like a pile of stones to you, but to me, it's much more than a pile of stones. Every single one tells a story of my life. There's power in the pile. Would someone help Miss Chanley today? Get her over to the room where she can get her a robe and get some towels out there for me today. Sister Amy, would you help her for me? He says, "Hey man, we're going to sing a song. We're going to open these altars. If the Lord's been dealing with you today, if you want to get back to recognizing the power of your pile, if you want to get back to remembering where God has brought you from, these altars are open as we sing this closing song unto the Lord. Come on, don't let the enemy cause you to forget where God has brought you from. Don't let there arise a generation that knows not who God is today. Refuse to let that happen and say, I'm going to remember where God has brought me from. These altars are open.